Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number three of our broadcast. Welcome back, and thank you very much for being with us. I'm Bill Shanks with Russ Brown. We are live on location at the Wild Wing Cafe here, the Shops at River Crossing on Riverside Drive in Macon, GA. Don't forget the location in Warner Robins as well at Lake Joy Road and right near Highway 96. There's entertainment every weekend at both locations. Tonight here in Macon, it's Ryan Alexander, and we hope you will keep the Wild Wing Cafe in mind for any event that you may have. And if you just want to go somewhere and get something good to eat, they've got it here. They've got great wings. They've got great chicken fingers, chicken feathers. They've got wraps. They've got salads. They've got sandwiches. Great appetizers as well. Of course, they've got beverages here. And the food really does set them apart with the hot shots. Russ was talking about that a little bit earlier. David's Chicken and Friends. They've got great food here. Just a real enjoyable occasion to come here to the Wild Wing Cafe and get something good to eat. Best wings that you can find here at the Wild Wing Cafe. Shops River Crossing on Riverside Drive here in Macon, and again on Lake Joy Road in Warner Robins. And again, Ryan Alexander on the stage tonight. Our phone lines are open. Area code 478-646-ESPN, 646-3776. That is our number. We are talking, obviously, a lot about the Braves, unfortunately, and the stinking bullpen, which just continues to be a topic that we're tired of talking about, but we can't help it. They blew another one last night. Braves took the lead on the home run by Josh Donaldson in the ninth inning, and then Luke Jackson came in to save the game and had two outs and had a pitch right down the middle that David Peralta popped into the right field seats for the Diamondbacks to tie the game. 10th inning, here comes A.J. Minter, and the first batter is Nick Ahmed. He walks him. Two straight singles, then was the end of the ball game. Arizona won. Braves screwed up the great performance from Mike Soroka, who went six strong innings, gave up one earned run. And again, for the eighth time in his 10 starts, Mike Soroka has allowed only one or zero runs. 8 out of 10 times, zero or one runs allowed. And that is a Major League record. No one in the history of Major League Baseball in their first 10 starts has been that effective. Think about that now. What year is it, 2019? I think baseball's been going on for about, 140 years or so, maybe a little longer. And no one has ever been that effective in their first 10 starts. Are you kidding? It's pretty cool. Shows you how good this kid is and what I think we've got to look forward to see in the rotation. Rotation's one thing. The bullpen is a mess. Even when they had a good stretch there for a couple of weeks, boom, what's happened the last two nights? Well, they gave up five runs the night before last to the Dodgers. And then last night, the tying run and then the go-ahead winning run as well. So we know why they're 18-20. We know why they're four games out of first place. It's not a mystery. It's very easy to figure out. From Twitter, at Bill Shanks, Michael says, facts are facts. Who fired Brian Bridges and Roy Clark? Who signed Josh Donaldson and ignored the pen? Who is to blame for this? Easy answer. It's Alex Anthopoulos. Don on Twitter. One question, two parts. Number one, how many games will Anthopoulos' loyalty to Josh Donaldson and two, his commitment to a second-round pick this year cost the Braves before the season ends? My guess is how many games below 92 wins they end up. Tell you the tone, it's not just us. You know, we're not trying to create the tone here. I think the best thing about this, if you want to look at it this way, is fans know it's not Snicker's fault. He's not the one who picks the groceries in this situation. It's Alex Anthopoulos. So you're not blaming Snit. You're probably feeling sorry for Snit. I don't know if you stayed awake and watched the press conference there at the end. Oh my God! I mean, you know, he was beside it. What was he going to say?
What can you say? I mean, I mean, as a manager, I mean, seriously, you have a lead. Josh Donaldson hits a home run. Who are you going to throw out there to get the save? Based on what's happened this season, I think he made the best choice. I'm laughing saying it. Luke Jackson.
I know.
I mean, he's. I mean, that was your best option, Luke Jackson. Luke Jackson.
And I'm not going to argue with his decision. I mean, look, I think of the ones in the bullpen now, my number one option would be Jacob Webb. Doesn't mean he would have been available last night, bro. You can't just have one. You got to have more than one effective relief pitcher. And, yes, they have been effective at times, and it's just a mess. It's just a real big mess. I went back and looked, Russ, at the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays. This is the last year that Alex Anthopoulos is the GM in Toronto. And I wanted to see exactly what the deal was with his bullpen that year. He was there for some time, so we'd have to go back year by year, which I don't know if I want to do that or not. But I'll just go back to 2015, because you may remember that Alex Anthopoulos' last year in Toronto, they actually won the division. They actually made the playoffs, won the division, won 93 games, finished first in the AL East, which is not an easy thing to do. And his rotation that year included R.A. Dickey, who was a former Brave, Mark Burley in his last year. Marco Estrada, Drew Hutchison, and David Price came in. He acquired David Price in a trade there. His closer was Robert Osuna. You know who that is? That's the guy that's now with Houston who had the issue with the spousal abuse and the domestic violence issue. He's with Houston now, but he's really, really good. He had 20 saves that year for the Blue Jays. Brett Cecil, who left Toronto a year or two after this and signed a multi-year deal with the St. Louis Cardinals and has struggled. He had 5 saves. He had Aaron Sanchez, who is a starter now in the bullpen. And he's talked about the fact that he's used starters in the bullpen before. Liam Hendricks, Aaron Loop. He had Steve Dalibar, Mark Lowe, Miguel Castro. But his team that won the division that year, this is interesting. They won 93 games. They had 34 saves as a team. Now, that's American League, obviously. Got to remember that. But that's kind of interesting. But there's no real veteran in that group. You notice that? There's no real, like, you know, Tyler Clifford type. Lack of a better example in that bullpen. I'm wondering if my buddy was right this morning when he was saying I just don't think Elon wants to spend money on the bullpen. Period. It's just not what his philosophy is. But where does that come from? And how does he feel now that the bullpen ain't worth the crap?
And then the other thing too. Why was that his last year in Toronto? I've never understood that either. But you're right. I mean, why? And especially coming into a year where you know once Anibal Sanchez moves on, it's like, I mean, Julio's still here, but because it was a Jaime Garcia before that, you're literally taking the leash off and saying, all right, kids, here we go. You're going to have some middle relief because, I mean, the limits that these guys are going to have and how protected they're going to be with their pitch counts and their innings limits, you're going to need that middle relief. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, man. I hope things can turn and you know, maybe we can sit in here in mid-August and say, yeah, remember that show we did early in May when we were asking how we could do that? Who knew at that time Blank would, you know, emerge as the closer? I hope that happens, but so I haven't seen anything to tell me that that's going to be the case. I mean, we've kind of been through it already in terms of, I mean, how many different guys for this team have had save opportunities already?
Too many. 2014, Russ, it was Casey Jansen who led the team with 25 saves. The year before that in 13, he had 34 saves, and he came up through the farm system for the Blue Jays and was a starting pitcher. They made him a reliever, and he was the closer for 3 years. So you have to look at that. I mean, there's no – maybe we should have realized this with the fact that you don't have a very big veteran influence in his bullpens in Toronto either. He just doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in spending money, but now that you got a problem, I don't know how you could have justified it after last year, but now that you know you got a real, real problem. You know, Alex, why are the Braves 2 games under 500? What is he going to say? Is he going to give me some GM bullcrap speak that's going to try to win me over when the bottom line is the bullpen ain't worth a crap? I mean, it's the only reason this team is where it's at. So what is he going to say? 2014, Casey Jansen once again. Russ, they just didn't spend money on closers. Maybe he's not going to get – you know, remember that thing a couple weeks ago? Was it last week when the people at Turner – at what the hell is it called? SunTrust Park were screaming, "We want Kimbrel."
Mm-hmm.
And the next day he was asked about it, and he said that even somebody on his staff, he wondered if they were out there screaming him too.
Yeah.
He almost mocked that. Like, I don't give a damn what you're saying. We're not signing Craig Kimbrel. I thought he did. I thought he was kind of like almost obtuse about it. And you shouldn't be obtuse. You know that?
No, you really don't. You shouldn't be obtuse.
I don't know. Maybe we're reading too much into it. I don't know.
No, well, I mean, I don't think there's anything he can say. I mean, typically in that situation, somebody's going to try to defend themselves, and he'll probably use a lot of acronyms that the average baseball fan doesn't know what they mean. But, I mean, 18 and 20, it is what it is.
What's that acronym?
I mean, that's
– more
that's,
L's and W's.
I mean, that's kind of where we're at. And, I mean, the bullpen hasn't been the only issue this year, but it's the biggest issue, and it's pretty apparent it's the biggest issue. And it was the biggest issue last year, too. That's the one thing. This isn't a new problem. I mean, there's so many different ways we could go about this, but if this was a new problem, if they hadn't spent $23 million on third base while not spending anything on the bullpen, there's a lot of ifs you could throw out there where you could have this team in the same boat it's in right now, and we'd be scratching our heads wondering what the hell's wrong with the Atlanta Braves. But, I mean, we've known what's wrong for over a season now.
Yeah,
I mean, and it wasn't anything that was dealt with in the offseason. I'm sure that people would point to the O'Day and Vizcaino too, but again, Vizcaino was on this team last year and it was a problem. O'Day was injured when they traded for him. So it just I don't know. You just have to hope that they can still be in striking distance when it comes time to improve this bullpen. But the way it's gone this week, I just have a bad feeling by the time June and July gets here. I mean, I really honestly fear that we're going to be sitting here on June 6th going, whoa, no, you're 8 games under 500. Don't sign Craig Kimbrel now. It's too late. I hope we're not having that conversation.
I hope not. I agree. I hope not. To the phones we go. I apologize for not seeing this earlier. Kerry in Eastman's with us. Hello, Kerry.
Hey, Bill.
Thank you for holding. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just wondering, with all, you know, the bullpen issues and all, why is A.J. Minter still even on the team? I mean, and given the closer's role brought in last night, you know, and didn't even record an out. You know, the other night in L.A., didn't get but one out. He's been pulled out of games. He's as the closer. I mean, Luke Jackson last night, he come in, and he's done good. And then you put him in the closer, you change his, you know, that's a little more mental pressure. It's like putting somebody in the cleanup spot, the batting order. It puts a little more pressure on you. So I give him a pass on giving up the home run that he did to tie the ball game. But then A.J. Minter comes in and does the same thing he does all the time. First man walk. If you're going to put Minter in, go ahead and walk. Put the first man on base. Might as well. Yeah. And didn't even record an out and gave up the game without even recording an out. And he's done this multiple times.
I know. Well, to answer your question, Kerry, and I'm not being smart aleck here, I don't know if they know who the hell to bring up.
You got Newcomb out there. He's been doing well, very well, in the setup role. He's got an above-average fastball. He's got three pitches to work with. He's got a bulldog mentality. If you're going to keep him in the bullpen, that's the person I would have coming in as a closer.
Well, see, that's interesting because it's like, do they need Newcomb to be the bridge pitcher between the rotation and the bullpen, or because of the problem they have with the closer, not having one, do they try Newcomb in that role? I don't know. I mean, I think the reason he's in Atlanta and we haven't seen that he's been sitting down yet is because I don't know if they know who to bring up.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's like, all right, you're looking at – here are the options to bring up. Wes Parsons, Shane Carl, Bryce Wilson, and that's about and Tukey. I mean, how long can you have some of these guys being on this yo-yo back and forth? You need to settle on the fact that Tukey Toussaint, for example, and Bryce Wilson, put them in the bullpen and leave them alone. Even in Gwinnett, let's see what they can do as a reliever in Gwinnett. Because look, Tukey's struggling, and that's only going to kill his value. So I'd rather see him get prepared for that role in Gwinnett. And I mean, you know, I know they brought up Kyle Wright because they were worried after what happened the night with Max that they were going to need a long reliever, that if something happened with Fulte, they were going to need somebody. Okay, I understand that. But, you know, Kyle Wright needs to be left alone. They need to have these guys who are going to be in the rotation left alone and not mess with. But I'm serious, Gary. I don't know if they know right now. All right, don't you know they've had to ask a question? All right, if we send A.J. Minter down, who's coming up?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that the answer that I've been shown is that he can't handle the position. They've even used him in the setup role, and he can't do anything there either. No. And that's why I'm wondering, how many chances do you get before you you couldn't trade him? But
no, he needs to go to AAA. Snit, I don't know if you saw it, Snickers insinuated it last night. He does not need to be here.
No, and then my biggest worry is what this does. Like last night's game, Soroka pitched, you know, a great game, and then to come up and, you know, and other players on the team also to be how they feel whenever they watch this happen night in and night out.
Yeah. No, it's going to take a toll on them. I mean, they go and they see this. They got to hold their breath every time these guys come in. They don't want their teammates to fail. They also don't want to lose the game either. And here's the thing. Kerry, don't you think that Freddie Freeman is saying, whether it's under his breath, I heard in spring training, somebody told me in spring training, I'm not going to tell you who, somebody told me in spring training, one of the other players, that the loudest person in the clubhouse about getting Craig Kimbrel was Freddie Freeman. What do you think Freddie's saying in that clubhouse right now?
Well, I mean, you got to get to where you need a closer first. We don't have setup men either. Complete mess from the sixth in and on because they got to pitch seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. That's just the standard in baseball. Now I don't understand that either, but yep. I mean you got to have the seventh and eighth inning guys to get to a closer first of all, and we don't even have that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't understand. And then you know you talk about the $23 million and you know we didn't need Josh Donaldson and all that. That's just you know I agree wholeheartedly because I don't like him as a you know player person whatever. But he did give us the lead last night in the ninth inning.
Yes, he did.
Then we don't have nobody to come in and seal that for us, and that's just
it's awful.
It's too much. It happens too many times. It's happening too often.
And I don't think last night was the last time we're going to see it either. Do you?
No, I watch the Braves every night.
Yeah, I know.
No,
I know.
So it's disheartening to me as a fan. I can only imagine players being out there expending their energy for a whole game and getting four runs a game like they did in L.A. or something like that and then just have it washed away at the end.
I know. It's crazy. Hey, man, thank you for calling. Tell more people in Eastman about us, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much. 478-646-ESPN is the number from Twitter. Will on Twitter. It makes me sick to my stomach to think of what our record would be if we had just blown the bullpen back. Half the blown bullpen back. Alex is a punk, and it's beyond hard to watch. Johnny says, Braves have two real big problems. One, the bullpen, and two, Alex Anthopoulos. See there? Here we go. Heck, I'll take Copy back over Alex. I bet Kimbrel would be in a Braves uniform if Copy was there. That is affirmative. I can answer that question with firsthand knowledge. There ain't no doubt about that, brother. That was talked about 2 years ago. But something happened. Things got in the way. All right. We're going to take a break. Come back. If you want to call in and talk about the Braves, that's fine. I'm not going to not talk to you about the Braves. I'm kind of tired of it. You may be tired of it. We're tired of it. We're tired of them blowing leads. We're tired of them. But when we come back, we're going to tell you, and I'm going to tell Russ, because I know he's eagerly awaiting this, of how Dan Quinn feels after the first day of rookie minicamp.
Hell.
Get your adjectives ready.
Oh, and your sunglasses.
Back with more from the Wild Wing Cafe right after this. Wild Wing Cafe is where we are here on this Friday. Bill and Russ on the radio on FM 93.1 FM in Macon, 105.9 FM in Warner Robins, 98.3 FM all over South Central Georgia, 610 AM in Hawkinsville, 1150 AM in Fort Valley, HD 107.1 HD4. Online, thesuperstations.com, all over the planet. You can listen to us. We appreciate you listening here on this Friday. Falcons football now. There's a rookie minicamp going on. All right. Have you looked at the word that I'm going to use? You want to take a shot at how Dan Quinn felt at the start of rookie minicamp?
It's early first look. I'm going to go with pumped. Was he pumped?
No, he was not pumped.
He was...
You got three chances. Three different chances.
He was energized?
Close.
Enthusiastic?
No.
Oh, damn.
You had the right letter. Elated.
Oh, that's a new one.
Elated.
All right.
Dear Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporting that Dan Quinn was elated to get back on the practice field today. Quinn said Friday it was a lot of fun to see the draft picks, the signed free agents, and quite a few guys who are out here for a tryout. Each of the interactions, you try to find a little moment to get to know somebody and find out a little bit about where they're why. Their why. Russ, what is your why? I want to know, after 12 and a half years, I want to know, what the heck is your why?
Bills. First of the month, that mortgage payment is due.
Oh, amen, brother. Oh, my gosh. Dan Quinn was pleased with the effort and thought the guys did a good job working today to get it started. It was also the revamped coaching staff's first time working on a practice together, Russ.
Oh, man.
It was good to get on the field together, he said.
Oh, did they process their energy well? This guy. He is. He's different. The question I've always had about Dan Quinn that we'll never know is, was Dan Quinn like this before he worked for Pete Carroll? Because if he was, I think I could take it a little bit more, but that's why I'm not buying it, because I just think he's trying to be a Pete Carroll clone. Maybe I'm wrong.
Didn't he work for Urban in Gainesville?
He was there in, what, 2013, I think?
Was that Will?
It might have been Muschamp. Yeah, that was Muschamp. But was he like this before he got around Pete Carroll? Because this is, hippie football is the term I've used in the past. Because Carroll's that way. I mean, nothing's bad. I mean, it's everything. It's always sunshine and roses. Always. Never a bad day in Dan Quinn's world. Which, hey, it's a great way to be. But
sure,
we just want to win football games. That's all. That's what gets me pumped.
I wonder what he'd say about my cough. It's not too bad, Bill.
I really like the way you're efforting that phlegm out of your chest. It's a lot of energy there.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. It's Russ's fault, damn it. I'm sorry. Still hits you. Trying to drink a little tea to get it past me here, so I apologize. No, it's you're right, though. Hippie football. And the picture of him in the article is one of him in the middle of the huddle with his hat on backwards. I will tell you, when he gets fired, if I'm an NFL team and he gets fired, I'm going after him as my defense coordinator in a heartbeat.
Oh, there's no doubt.
That's what he is.
No doubt.
It's just what he is.
I mean, literally, that's exactly what he is for the Falcons now, because he's calling the defense and they've hired somebody to manage the clock for him.
Clock management.
He's the clock coordinator.
4 years, and he doesn't know how to do the clock management.
Oh, man. And he's wearing his hat backwards in the huddle, huh?
Yep, that's it, Russ.
To quote the late, great Tim Wilson, let's be a pitcher, not a catcher, son.
Man, I don't know. I mean, we could have – you knew what kind of term we were going to use.
Oh, I knew it would be something like that.
Yeah, elated. And he was all pumped and excited.
And you know what? And that actually probably is a good thing for rookie minicamp because these guys haven't been around it. But you know, once you get there in August, you know, is Grady Jarrett pumped and elated that he can't get a long-term contract right now?
I doubt it.
You know,
Julio ain't pumped.
Is Robert Alford feeling like he's a part of the brotherhood right now? I just think that stuff. I think it's great in college, but it just in professional sports, I just think it has a shelf life. I really do.
I don't know why when he gets fired from Atlanta in December, he wouldn't go to college football. Do you? I mean, I think he'd be great.
I do too.
I really do.
I would love, like, if my kid was a college football player, I would love him to be around that attitude for
sure.
4 years. I mean, I don't disparage the guy at all. My issue is wins and losses. And it's professional football, and that rah-rah stuff, it just – I don't think it works at this level. I just – especially when you're
losing.
Great
when you're winning, though, but when you're losing.
That's it.
It just – it turns nasty quick, doesn't it? And the problem already with the Falcons, in a way, is fans have given up going to the games. They don't even go to the games. Corporate people go to the games, not fans. That's over with. And – But you know what? Look, this team's not going to be awful. If you had to say a record right now, what do you say?
8-8.
I agree. But is that enough to get him fired?
I think so.
I think they would pull the trigger on that?
I think if they don't make the playoffs, you'll see a new head coach and general manager in Atlanta.
I mean, I pray to God you're right. But we're talking about of an owner who gets too emotionally involved with his employees. And I'm not saying you are being a jerkwad to them, because look, Jerry Jones is. I mean, they're all emotionally involved with their coaches. They want to be friendly with them. But man, you can't put these rose-colored glasses on. And I pray to God, if you're right that they are going to be 8-8, that is going to be enough to get him fired. I can't imagine why you would justify keeping him around if he was only 8-8, but. I just worry about them barely getting by. Even if it's 9-7, they squeak in. And they say, well, it's hard to fire somebody who makes the playoffs. And yet they get embarrassed in the playoffs. Or, by gosh, they may go and win. I just don't see this. Who's going to be the running back on this team if the current running back gets hurt? Tevin Coleman's in San Francisco. So do they have enough depth there in case – Yeah, but you got a guy who's that is the biggest. My worry is not the offensive line right now, and it's not even the defensive line. My worry is running back. You know, look, when Matt Ryan won the MVP award, he had a great offensive line. He also had a running game. Are they going to have a running game this year? Are they going to be able to have a running game that's going to be effective and consistent this year? I don't know how we can, even with the rebuild offensive line, Russ, how can we guarantee, because of the injuries that Devontae Freeman's had, that's going to be the case? That worries me more than anything right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as worried about that. I mean, I don't know if Freeman's going to be able to stay healthy. You're going to have to hold your breath every time because of the concussions, and I hope he's past it, but sometimes for those guys when that starts to be a reoccurring thing. But I will say this, the fact that they addressed the offensive line should help the running game, because it wasn't going to work with the way the offensive line was last year.
No doubt.
So, but, I mean, Ito Smith, I don't know. It's going to have to be.
A surprise.
From the offensive line, yeah, and it's going to have to be obviously it's not going to be the focal point of the offense anyway, we know that. But it's going to have to be effective because of that.
And maybe the Winstrom, the rookie, and Carpenter, the veteran, can provide the help at guard compared to what they had to deal with last year that will allow it not to be a concern. But if Devontae can't stay healthy, it's not going to matter anyway. Then you're going to have to really – I mean, they were in so much better shape last year with Tevin Coleman there as a – very good backup compared to now, where we just don't know what they're going to do. And I hope Devontae Freeman can stay healthy. He's been a fine player. There's no doubt about that. But he can't stay healthy. And 16 games in two – I mean, since the Super Bowl, he's played 16 games in 2 years, not one, two. You can't have, if he plays eight games this year, what are they going to do? I mean, that's going to be scary right there, you know? I mean, if he doesn't play in 14, 15, 16 games and they have to turn to Ito Smith to be the running back, your offensive line's got to be exceptional for them to be able to have an effective running game with someone who's never proved it before. Maybe he can. I don't know, but it's just an unknown right now because I feel better about the offensive line. You got to. They did address it. They did fix it. They fixed their biggest problem with their team last year, unlike some teams in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Falcons did. But you know what? Give Dan – we make fun of Dan Quinn a lot, but give Dan Quinn credit because Dan Quinn came out at the end of the season and said what? We got two offensive linemen.
Yep.
We got Alex Mack and Jake Matthews. And he was – that was the most harsh and matter of fact, Russ, he's ever been in his career, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I think he knew that – his future and his time as the Atlanta Falcons head coach was over unless they addressed the offensive line. And that's why they threw a bunch of money, as much as they could in terms of money, and two first-round picks at it because it was a problem. I mean, it doesn't guarantee you anything, but they definitely addressed it. And I think that's why, because, I mean, it's not – see, that's the thing. If they hadn't addressed the offensive line this offseason, it wasn't going to matter who the running back was. I mean, it's not a position we feel good about still, but because they address the offensive line, hope may be too strong of a word, but there's a chance. There's a chance it could be better. And then if Freeman does stay healthy, when he's healthy, he's been one of the best backs in the league. But
look
like
out,
you said,
right? Look out.
16 games in 2 years, and it's the concussions. That's what scares me about Devonta Freeman. It's because for some players, once those start happening, they just don't go away.
Now, we could make an assumption that a better offensive line is going to protect him more, where he's not going to have as much vulnerability to get hit. But this is football.
Right. I mean, he's a running back.
Physicality. He's going to get hit. I don't care if you got the Washington Redskins hogs up there in front. He's going to get hit. And his ability to stay concussion-free is the biggest key to this season. I really believe that. Because I think they have done all they can do, really. All you could ask them to do to fix the offensive line. They gave it a great attempt with two free agents. Well, more than that. I mean, including some of the depth players, right? Mm-hmm. They have brought in players that were veterans. They have brought in guys who were suspects, some who were a little bit more accomplished. And then they went and drafted two guys. We can't ask for more to fix what they said that was really what we said. They said, too, was the biggest problem. So I'm not worried as much about that. I mean, it may be a while before they get cohesiveness on that line of scrimmage, which might take them a little while. But if Devontae's not there, what are they going to do? That to me is just so much of a. I don't worry about Matt. I don't worry about the receivers. I don't worry about. I mean, I know the defense has got to play better, and several people in certain locations, Vic Beasley, have got to do better for them to have a chance of even going 8-8. But Russ, if they have no running game, or if they have to struggle for a running game, it's going to be tough. It's just going to be tough. And I hope Dan Quinn can continue that positive attitude because I think he's going to need it. I think it's going to be a challenge for him.
Oh, it's going to be a challenge. I don't think there's any doubt about it because they have to know it's playoffs or bust. And by they, I mean Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. And now, you know, they from a personnel standpoint, the hay's in the barn. It is what it is. You hope these guys can stay healthy moving forward, and then they have to figure out a way to navigate the schedule and get into the playoffs because Arthur Blank wants a Super Bowl, and I mean he hasn't made any bones about it. And if you're the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and you're not going to the playoffs, he's going to move on pretty quickly. I mean, they moved on from Mike Smith pretty quick, and I think they'll be just as quick to move on for Dan Quinn if 2019 doesn't go. You know, if we're not looking at a playoff team.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll see what the little OTAs and the different mini camps that they're going to have. And it's good work, obviously, for those offensive linemen to get really going and to try to prepare for what they're going to have when they have the whole team there and they're able to get. And, you know, Matt Ryan obviously has got to be a big part of this equation, not with Devontae. But with that new offensive line, he's going to have to spend time with Carpenter and Brown and Winstrom and the other kid, and they're going to have to really get some cohesiveness because he's the kind of the conductor of the train. You know, he's got to he's got to lead the way, and I don't have any worry about that. It's about keeping that running game. He's more effective when there's a running game too. We know, okay, Dan, there's no running back. You got to have Matt Ryan sit back there and throw the ball all day long. Okay, you know what? He could probably get away with it against some teams. But the balanced offense is what can be so effective for this team, and we saw that with Michael Turner. We've seen that with Devontae. And the worry of not having that, because look, if Devontae, Russ, if Devontae has any issues at all this year that cause us to believe this is his last season, the number one priority going in 2020 is going to be a running back. Somehow, some way, whether it's finding another Michael Turner or drafting another Tevin Coleman, they're going to have to find someone unless Ito Smith or one of these guys they have now can emerge and show them, all right, I can get more opportunity and step up and become more of a significant player. But that's kind of a concern too, which is why I really thought they would be more even active in trying to bring in a running back earlier in the draft. But we'll see what happens with them. But they got started today, and Dan Quinn is elated, as we all are to see any football out there on the field, even Dan in his hat going backwards.
Oh, somehow this has to work. I don't know how, but...
I mean, if he was a recruiter in college football, how could you turn him down? He comes knocking on your door for your little boy to go play football at his university. He's going to be so energetic, so positive. He's going to make Mark Richt look like negative Nancy. Are you kidding me?
He really is. He really is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think he'd be a great college coach. I think he's a great defensive coordinator. But
I mean, I don't want him at Georgia, but you could have him.
Well,
where he,
you've got one.
Right.
You've got a head coach.
Right.
Georgia Southern has a head coach. I don't want him there. But
you could hire him at Tech.
Well, they've got a head coach.
P.T. Barnum. You know what? Instead of that train whistle they do when they give a first down, they could have like the circus whistle. Exactly. Exactly. That could work. All right. You're going to be apologizing, though, Jeff, and October when they're 2-3. You know that, don't you?
Oh, no, they're going to get off to a good start. Have you seen how crappy that schedule is to begin with? I mean, outside of the first game.
First game, who do they play the second game?
No, it's not that crappy. I think it's USF and then Temple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they should get off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, there you go.
4-4 the culture.
All right. Chris just told us the P.T. Barnum and Bailey Circus went out of business a couple of years ago.
It did.
Does he think we don't know the news? Does he think we're just in a sports bubble and don't know what's going on? What's wrong with him?
He does. But that's okay. I knew that because I miss going to the circus.
That, you know what? That is a shame, isn't it?
It is.
But is there any circus around anymore?
Yeah, there's those craptastic circuses they keep bringing to town. I haven't been to one yet.
Like in the parking lot at the mall?
Yeah, no, they brought those some kind. Stuff to. They brought because the Barnum and Bailey was coming to the Centralplex every year, and me and the boy loved it when he was little.
Yeah, that's a shame though, just because a couple elephants got out of control.
Yeah, I mean, could we have the circus without the animals?
But
right?
You know because you could have clowns. You could have Russell Brown.
The circus clowns didn't bother me as much.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like, all right. So if you're walking in a mental institution and you see crazy people. They're home, right? So it doesn't bother you.
Right.
So, like, if you see a clown walking around on the street, that's creepy. But if they're at the circus, well, they're home. That's where they belong.
Oh, my gosh.
Just keep a close eye on your children.
I love clowns.
I hate clowns.
I know, you
Good
do.
Good God. Grown men wearing makeup going to kids' birthday parties.
You know, P.T. Barnum, they weren't the same after those two tigers got out and killed everybody, weren't they?
Oh, I didn't know about that.
No, that was in Las Vegas. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was the Siegfried and Roy, right?
Yeah. Are they dead?
I don't know.
Weren't they eaten by their tigers in the backyard or something?
That's a great question.
Do you know that my aunt's sister, by marriage, lived right down the street from Siegfried and Roy, and we could see from her backyard their fence with the wire on it to keep their tigers and kitties in the backyard. Yeah. Kind of scary. It's like, what if they got out, you know?
Roy had what is described as a career-ending tiger injury.
Yeah, they mauled
on
him.
October 3rd, 2003.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like a vegetable now.
That sucks.
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah.
I might have known that at one time. I just, yeah. You know, I yeah, it's was just never really now. That into him.
Roy's gone.
That's, they couldn't find some other dude named Roy to play with.
No, Tigers. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
And they're old too.
Oh yeah, they've been.
Dude was born in 1939. The other one, 19, yeah, they're older than my parents.
Oh yeah, good, they're been along gone forever.
Well, it's probably time to hang it up back
in 03. Oh yeah, but it was bad. If you were there in the front row and you had that tiger clawing him to death, it was kind of gross, you know. Kind of bad.
Probably made some people happy.
Probably did, but anyway. All right, Chris is getting pissed now about us. We got to go to break. 478-646 ESPN. So you like clowns as long as they're at the circus?
I can handle that.
You're weird. You know that?
Yes. I'm very aware of this. Yes.
So if a clown walked in here right now, the
wobbling, that's just weird.
You'd be weirded out. But if you go to the
circus,
like mall parking lot circus, you'd be okay.
Yeah, mall parking lot circuses get a little bit dicey. I don't know. That'd be a little bit iffy.
All right, yeah, that's probably iffy for me.
Because he's probably going to be walking around with a bottle of liquor tagging a heater.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
See that coming.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. I got to go call. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's Russ's fault. Blame him.
It really is.
It really is. All right, we'll take a break. Back with your phone calls. More sports talk from the Wild Wing Cafe right after this. 5:49 is the time we're at the Wild Wing Cafe in Macon. Don't forget about the Warner Robins location as well. Entertainment every single weekend. Ryan Alexander tonight here at this location. Back to the phones we go. Jeremy in Memphis. What's up, sir? How are you?
Doing good, Bill. Hey, Bill, I'll say this, Bill. Both in Scarborough, but I heard this today. Of course, he scored two runs last night, and over the last three seasons, any team that scored two runs in a game has only won 12% of the time. And get this, our last 17 games were 24 of 140 with runners in score position. We're hitting 171. Bill, we're not hitting the ball. We scored nine runs in the last four ball games. We got to start hitting the ball. I mean, the bullpen struggled, yes, but we're, with runners in score position, we're pathetic lately.
So that makes even more sense to put your $23 million offensive acquisition at number two in the batting order.
Well, I'm not for that, Bill. But the point is, Albies is struggling right now. Acuna is struggling. And we got a lot of guys in a funk right now hitting the baseball. We're just not hitting the ball, man. We're not scoring.
No, they're not. They need to be better. They need to be more consistent. They need to jump on. I mean, tonight they got Greinke. So this is not going to be easy tonight. You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a real challenge for them. But they've got to have some big hits. They're all kind of okay, right? This whole team is okay. It's like how are the Braves? They're okay. There's nothing great. There's nothing special about them. There's nothing significant about this team. You're not going to look at this team out of 15 teams in the National League and say this is the team that's going to be in the World Series in October. No, you're not going to look at this team in that because of the things that you're talking about on offense, the things we've been talking about, the bullpen, and they have been inconsistent. We've seen Ender. I mean, Ender's hitting 221. You know, how long is this going to last? How long are we going to have to put up with Ender and Ciarte in 221? That ain't going to work, is it?
No, and I remember one game, Bill, a couple of games ago, we were down by a run or something. I wish I remember the exact situation, but we had three guys come up with runs as Corbin decision. And we had three straight strikeouts. It was with good hitters. I think it's Albies and a couple of the guys. I think Albies was one of us. We had three straight strikeouts with guys in scoring position. We're just not getting. I mean, we're 24 of 140 in the last 17 games with runs in scoring position. That's horrible. I mean,
that's
going
awful.
Yesterday, we had the best. Our bullpen had the best ERA of anybody in the National League East. And granted, it's bad, but. We're not going to struggle with bullpen. We have the best of the teams in our division. But the point is, we need to start scoring some more runs. We got to come up with some key hits. And I think all of these in the Acuna, I guess they're just in a sophomore slump or whatever. But I think they're going to be great hitters. But I guess they'll come out of it this year. I mean, what do you think? You think it's one of those things just kind of growing?
Well, look, I mean, Ozzy's still hitting 280. The on-base percentage needs to be higher. It's 326. It's gone down a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Acuna, 276. He finally had his seventh home run the other day. I mean, they're just, but not getting their big hits is the thing. You talked about the batting average with runners in scoring position. They've got, they need some big innings. When's the last time they've had an inning where they scored more than three runs? That's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the three of the last four ball games, they've scored three runs or less total in three of the last four ball games. They're just not scoring runs right now.
Think beyond that, though, Jeremy, if they had a closer, they wouldn't be 18-20.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I thought another thing about last night, Sean Newcomb, so he pitches one inning, and Snicker, with one out in the eighth inning, the pitcher's spot is up. Now, granted, you're tired, but there's nobody on. I would have let Newcomb hit for himself and go back there and pitch two or three more innings. But he's got to bring up a pitch hitter with nobody on it. Joyce gets out, so you got to make the pitching change. When Newcomb's spot was coming up, I was saying, please let him hit. I mean,
and I understand that, and I don't necessarily disagree, but you just talked for 2 minutes about how the offense is struggling. And so you're trying to get runs, you're trying to get on the board. That's why he did it. You can understand why he did it.
Well, if there was a guy or two on, I would have said go for it. But with an out and nobody on,
they're not going to do that late in the game. They're just not going to do that late in the game. I don't think any manager is going to do that where they're going to allow a pitcher to go out there. I mean, I'm with you about pitching more than one inning, of course, but I just don't think that's logical to believe a manager is going to do that in the National League.
And in Austin Riley, I'm wondering, this might not be at all. I know you said they moved to the outfield a little bit, but I'm wondering if they're waiting until after June the 1st arbitration deadline to bring him up. Now, of course, you got the Super 2 stats. You probably need to wait till the middle of June to be safe. But I wonder if they're looking at that June the 1st date to bring him up because of arbitration. Yeah. What do you think?
Maybe. They're going to do anything they can to save money, so I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. That's definitely a possibility. That's something you got to think about. Hey, Jeremy, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Good points as well. And the offense is struggling. I mean, look, they've lost four in a row, and they've scored 9 runs in those 4 games. And 12 runs going back to the 5th game. So it's not working. They've been outscored in the last 4 games, 26-9. It's a problem. We're at the Wild Wing Cafe. Phone lines are up if you want to join us in the next segment, 478-6. 646 ESPN here on the Bill Shanks Show.